ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, and text number 14. Please repeat after me. Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Nityayukta upasate.
Nityayukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Nityayukta upasate.
Nityayukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Yatantascha dradabrata.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktya.
Nityayukta upasate.
Nityayukta upasate.
Satatam.
Satatam.
Always.
Always.
Satayantaha. Chanting.
Chanting.
Maam. About me.
About me.
Yatantaha.
Yatantaha.
Fully endeavoring.
Fully endeavoring.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Dradabrataha.
Dradabrataha.
With determination.
With determination.
Namasyantaha.
Namasyantaha.
Offering obeisances.
Offering obeisances.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Maam.
Maam.
Me.
Me.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
In devotion.
In devotion.
Nitya yuktaha.
Nitya yuktaha.
Perpetually engaged.
Perpetually engaged.
Upasate.
Upasate.
Worship.
Worship.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. The word Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God. He has no other business. He is always engaged in glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, here again chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho and Smaranam. Remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities. Mental, bodily and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penances or austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world. He can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai
Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishram Sathitam Jena Bhutale Swayamrupadam Adhyam Dadakti Swadhanatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sadhanaranyatam Kam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Shri Visakhamatam Shat He Krishna Rama Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tatra Krishna Choram Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishvam Sri Devi Pranamani Hari Kriye Vancha Kapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Kavitanam Pavnevyo Vaisavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Rakhasuna Sandhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dhradavrataha namasyantascha maam bhaktya nikti yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, this great soul perpetually worship me with devotion. To become a devotee means to become very broad-minded. There are different interpretations one can give to the word Mahatma. One who is restricted or constricted in the conception, which is only very narrow, in the sense that this is me, mine, I, me and mine. So Vedas do not call this as, an Aryan, or one who is broad-minded. It says, I am nija paro vetti lagunam lagu chetasam. I am nija, this is mine. Paro vetti, that was his. Lagunam lagu chetasam, those who are constricted in the heart, they have only a very little measurement. Lagunam lagu chetasam. Udar charitanam, on the other hand, those who are broad-minded, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, for him, the whole world is a family. The narrow-mindedness means it's Dr. Frog's philosophy. Dr. Frog wants to measure the length and breadth of Atlantic Ocean with his limited 3-foot well. Such endeavors to estimate it simply inviting his death. He was trying to show up with a puffed up nature. Maybe look like this. Then he will puff up his throat and it swells like balloon. You know. But how can he go? How can he unlimitedly grow that balloon. It will burst and call its own death. So, those who are narrow-minded, restricted, they have no knowledge of the reality. Reality is all-encompassing. It is not narrow. But it is one-pointed, that's for sure. But that point itself is so immense that one has to dwell into it, not external. We are easily tempted to look on the externalism, the vast space out there, and look at the firmament. There are so many planetary systems, the nebulas and the galaxies and pulsars and so many things. But they say it is ever expanding, means we can never reach. We can never reach. But does it mean that when you think of nebula, you will become broad-hearted, broad-minded? No. Our mind is very small, very puny. It has a lot of limitations. But just like the soul is all-pervading, all-pervading means that aspect is giving you some promise of real broadness, if it is all-pervading. The consciousness is called all-pervading. Right now we have a limited consciousness only pertaining to our body. But it has to be expanded. How can it be expanded? One who sees Paramatma dwelling in each and everyone's heart is really an expansion of the consciousness. And he sees everything on the platform of equanimity, on equal position. Because one that sustains the creation is Vishnu, or his representation as Paramatma, which is Anoraniyam Mahato Mahiyam, smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest simultaneously. It can penetrate in the heart where the soul resides, and it can also penetrate within a dead atom. It is only by the presence of Paramatma feature that the material world is sustained. But when he desires to withdraw, everything will collapse. Nothing can exist without his presence. So, these are some external glories of the Lord. But there are internal glories of qualitative oneness of the soul. The soul is required to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his thought, mind and action. All three aspects. Not only one that I will glorify in my mind, that is good enough. No. The glorification, however, is to be done throughout the whole faculties of our being. Because if the Supreme Soul is all-pervading, little soul has also a tendency to become all-pervading. But at least that all-pervasiveness is meaning that he can reach out. Even though he is tiny, he doesn't lose his individuality. Rather, he can reach out. He can reach out far away. In the night when we get the dream, the mind is also having a similar nature because it is very subtle and it is broad, so he wants to reach out. But generally, mind reaches to only sensory perception and the remembrance that it has taken in. And this remembrance is only of sense gratification and nothing else. So mind has limitation. To be broad-minded, we cannot depend upon sensory perceptions. Krishna is telling here that always chanting my glories. One should not become envious of Krishna that why we are told to chant only his glories. Prabhupada explains that Mahatma is great soul. If we are restricted or constricted by chanting something on a very limited aspect, then what is glorious about? Glorifying a devotee is based on his broad-mindedness, his activity which is benevolent to all the living entities. There is no selfish endeavor. He provides opportunity to all the living entities to become Krishna conscious. That is the broad-mindedness. So, the broad-mindedness is coming on the broader platform, or not on a restricted platform. There is nothing wrong to glorify the demigods as far as their functionality in the material world is concerned. But it will be limited. It will be limited. Because they have jurisdiction on a planetary system, or even their presence to carry out the functions in the body, they have also taken their subtle form in our body. So, they allow the functionalities, but on a limited sphere. It is not all-pervading. It is not all-pervading either. So, a broad-mindedness has to be understood. There was one incident, and Srila Prabhupada was walking on Juhu Beach in early days, and the construction of the temple was going on in Mumbai. One of his good friend, Dr. Patel, he is from Gujarat, and he was having so many friends who are Swaminarayans. Dr. Patel brought few friends who were Swaminarayans on that day to introduce to Srila Prabhupada, telling them, these are also Krishna Bhaktas. They also worship Lord Krishna. But Prabhupada immediately objected. What kind of glorification are they doing? Prabhupada quotes this particular verse that Krishna says, glorify my name. Why do they interject their guru's name in between? Am I teaching my students chant Krishna, Prabhupada, Krishna, Prabhupada? Why are they teaching, chant Swami Narayan, Swami Narayan? Chant only Narayan, that's good enough. Why do we undermine the holy name? Unless and until one has understood the efficacy of the holy name in full, one cannot glorify Lord Krishna properly. Otherwise, why in Kali Yuga only Krishna's name is so important to become free from the clutches of Maya and go back home back to Godhead? Kirtanat eva Krishnasya mukta sangam param braje. So we have to understand, we are not constricted, or we have not chanted his name So we are narrow-minded. No. Krishna is all-pervading. All-pervasive personality of Godhead. Because he is the cause of all causes. And it has been described in the pages of Shastra. Nobody else has been credited as cause of all causes. So, the idea is that what is real to be become broad-minded. A Krishna conscious devotee is not a narrow-minded. His path may be very determined and chalked out already by the acharyas. That is not a narrow-mindedness. The effect of it that encompasses everyone, that is broad-minded. And it applies to everyone. He may be a devout Christian or what, or a Muslim, doesn't matter. Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even by them, is putting them on the right platform of Christianity or Islam. That is what it's all about. We are not discriminating any religion, any belief system, but constriction or constricted nature of a particular dogma or particular theory, one may become narrow-minded. Sometimes too much narrow-minded is called fanaticism. But Krishna consciousness is all-pervading consciousness. The ultimate function of our consciousness is to connect with Krishna, the origin of our. And origin is all-pervasive, so how come his consciousness be narrow-minded? It doesn't make sense. So, we have to understand that a devotee is udar charita, very broad-hearted. While those who have narrow anticipation of results for the time being, temporary results, they are narrow-minded. For selfishness, and that selfishness to the wrong self, that is the body, that is narrow-mindedness. One who wants to gratify his senses, thinking whatever he does, that is his own business, fine, but that will be narrow-mindedness. So Mahatma is not a narrow-mindedness, he is very broad-minded. Mahatma. A jnani is never termed as Mahatma. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute is never said to be Mahatma. On the other behalf, Krishna says that Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanvam Mam Prapadyate Vasudevam Sarvamiti. A jnani has to come to the conclusion that Lord Shri Krishna is all in all and then surrenders to him. Then he becomes Mahatma, not otherwise. But it takes after many, many lifetimes. So, the idea we have to gather is very, very important that devotees don't look only for petty selfishness. Rather, they come out and become broad-hearted and they deal with people in broad-heartedness, not narrow-mindedness. Not narrow-mindedness. So, Prabhupada said, what kind of glorification is this to the Swami? They say, Swami Narayan, Swami Narayan, Swami Narayan. You are supposed to chant the holy name of the Lord alone. Because looks like they don't have enough faith. You can't misinterpret the holy name. You can't add anything to the holy name. Holy name itself is so glorious because the holy name represents all the quality and meaningful aspects of the absoluteness. And it is all encompassing. It is not male. So we have to chant Krishna's name. In Vishnu Sahasranam, we were talking the other day that a thousand names of Lord Vishnu is equal to three names of Rama, because that Lord Shiva tells. And he further concludes that one name of Krishna is equivalent to three names of Rama. So, instead of chanting thousand names, if you chant one name, do you become narrow? Or you become broader? How? Can you explain? One name is good enough. Why?
Because we are spreading the glories of Krishna directly by calling by his favorite name, Krishna.
The acharyas have determined the name Krishna means all attractive. In etymology, the word kru, Krishna, the kru dhatu, the element kru, is all supportive. And na is called all bliss. It supports our existence and provides the bliss. Is there any other purpose in the life? You want to exist for your eternal happiness forever and ever after. This is the soul's eternal position. So by chanting that name, you will surely get, because it is transcendental. Abhinnatvam nama namino. His name is no different than the personality of God. So that is the glorification. It's straightforward. So, why would in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami will say to Parikshit, only Krishna's name is clinging to me, to good virtue. Because our life is short, we don't have enough intelligence. We are lazy bums. We are always in trouble, and we are unfortunate. These are our qualifications in Kali Yuga. Prayana alpayushya kalavasmin sarvya yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrata. At slight instances, we get disturbed. We can't tolerate anymore. Slight provocation. Slight. But it is misunderstood. We get disturbed. That means we have no broader perspective to absorb the coexistence of others. We don't appreciate. That is really narrow-mindedness. But broad-minded, udhara charitanam vasudeva kṛṇha. A devotee is so broad-minded that he will want to help out anybody and everybody. So whatever at his command, whatever he has, it is available for Krishna's service through helping the devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was of opinion that our devotional service to Lord Shri Krishna does not negate public welfare system. Rather, every household should do. They have been recommended in Dharma Shastras that we are obligated to serve others, even though it may not be directly Krishna conscious, even though bodily necessities are required, but we must serve. But we must serve in consciousness of Krishna. That is the difference. Many a times, ISKCON devotees, in the beginning, just to concentrate on their devotional service aspect, they were neglecting or criticizing the other philanthropic activity also. But now, if they are done in the spirit of devotion to Lord Krishna by offering Him, then distributing, then everything is all right. Such people are so obsessed by karmic activity because it yields profit, adoration and distinction, which is material in nature, so they would not bring Krishna in it. So most of the impersonalists who end up doing this kind of work, they have no faith in Krishna for offering such things to Him. So naturally, that can be evaluated in terms of whether it is ultimately turning the devotional service. Sometimes they argue. We also do in the terms of God. But they don't have any conception of God. They think they are God themselves. An impersonal aspect can reach to the maximum, Anyway, Lord Krishna is so broad-hearted that He has created this material world to fulfill each and every living entity's desires. And He provides them. Do you think He is envious of any? Narrow-mindedness means enviousness and would not give a clear conception of Krishna. So how can He sing the glories of the Lord? Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dhadavrata namasyantascha maam bhaktya nitti upasate. This is a 24-hour business of broad-minded people, not narrow-minded people. Oh, only they can do who has no business, who has no responsibilities. This is the greatest responsibility. And a broad-minded person can understand that. So in this way, we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anybody who glorifies Him of His transcendental name, form, qualities and activities, He will become also broad-hearted, broad-minded. He will be the benefactor of the whole society. So chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And thank you. Anybody has any question? Yeah.
Maharaj, talking about broad-mindedness, does it mean that we should not discriminate between meat eaters and, the...
You can discriminate to do welfare to them.
Because as a devotee, we are advised that we should stay away from them. I mean, not interacting, but how can you advise us on that?
Discrimination may not be the right word that you are using. Rather, if you cannot help him to give up the activities of ignorance or activities which are impelled by the false ego, then you simply pray for him. Simply pray for him. If you are discriminating, then you wouldn't pray for him either. right? But if you are the well-wisher of everyone without discrimination, then you will pray for every kind. Was it not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to do? Otherwise, why would they go to meat eaters and even the drunkards, like Jagai and Madhai? But probably, you may think it is practical that in my household life I shouldn't take that risk. That is not discrimination, you know? Unless we have courage, through the broad-mindedness, one may not attempt even. You know? If we have not developed that broad-minded, then stay away. But it is not supposed to be discriminated. Oh, it's out of my limits, so not attempting. Otherwise, how could even the sixth Goswami is called Dhira Dhira Janak Priya Priya Karau Nirmat Sarau Pujitam? Because they were non-envious, they were able to please the ruffians and the wise alike. Was it not? One has to become broad-minded by becoming real renunciate with the really detached. Then broad-mindedness will be there. If we are attached and we are narrow-minded, rather remain detached and we will be able to develop that broad-mindedness. So are we discriminating in a narrow-minded business? There is no discrimination on broad-mindedness. Otherwise, how can we even see the Lord equally present in the heart of a drunkard, a meat-eater, a dog or a dog-eater? You know? So, we have to cultivate this culture of Krishna consciousness. Not only by contemplation, but by practical guidance through the bona fide spiritual master. And develop it, develop it.
Yeah. Maharaj, what's the main difference between being broad-minded and, you know, Yatamat Tatapat, I'm okay, you're okay?
They are selfish. And selfish is never broad-minded. They don't want to take trouble to correct others. So, okay, you do whatever you do, it's all right. But you just follow and give me some money. That's all. Make my day.
If there is a senior devotee and he claims that he is a good devotee, but on the other hand, he is very narrow-minded, and he tries to impose his views to other devotees, which he thinks are right, but somehow they cannot be all of them right. So in that situation, what should we say to that devotee? Or
there are two different situations. If a devotee is only a preacher, then there is a different application. But if one who is a preacher as well as administrator, given some authority and right to conduct the activity according to the norms of Krishna conscious management, he has a right to discriminate there. So his dealing should be different. If one is abiding by the rules and regulations of the management given by Srila Prabhupada and coming from the GBC and then one should not interfere in his management business if one is a congregational member. Both are devotees. But you know, one is responsible and other he has not been given any authority to exhibit responsibilities on others. So one should not put his foot on somebody like that. That will be an offense itself. So rather than correcting the situation will mess up the whole thing.
So in that scenario, how do we deal with that devotee, particular devotee?
The scenario is that they can request at the best and bring to the notice, but if they become familiar about the workings of the institution and what are required, there is a, what you call, job description. One should know how the system works. So then, that kind of exercise should be done before, you know, dealing with him. Always try to stay away from the responsibility that is not been given to us. Never try to put up a step on somebody's toes. It's called maryada vyatikram. We have to work within our own limitations. Everybody has been given a boundary. If one is failing to do that, then a person will lose the right of even complaining or correcting anything. First he has to correct himself. Yes.
Maharaj, he was talking about the exclusive worship of Krishna, but then one may get a bit confused and think, well, if I can't get to Krishna without the mercy of Srimati Radharani. If I can't get the mercy of Srimati Radharani without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then one starts thinking, well, how much time should I spend?
Go to his guru because he is the embodiment of all representations. What does he say? Why is he there in the first place? One can go unlimitedly on mental platform without any clue, then? Nip out this confusion right from the birth, means at the level of the guru itself, before we develop into crazy, independent thinking, mental concoctions. Yes.
With the broad-mindedness, when we in the material life, when we want to compare things, like for example, if I want to know whether Nokia is the best mobile or Samsung is the best mobile, then we try things or we hear from people and then come to the conclusion that Nokia is the best. Now, without reading about other religions or without knowing about other scriptures, how can one understand or confirm that Sanatana Dharma is only the best? And
okay.
People in that Dharma, they're broad-minded and not others.
That's correct. It's good to know. But it is also involving the gradual development from being a religious to the transcendentalist. There is a distinction between, you know, and one knows the purpose of following religion, you know, then he will become broad-minded. He will not be narrow-minded. But the idea is that the Shreya and prayer, these two things have been described in the Shastras. Even the demigod worship is done for prayer, means immediate benefit, not for Shreya. And one should not make any guru just to worship the demigods. It says that Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyashu shreya uttamam. Sameta pani visrutriyam brahmanishtam. The religion is always telling that one should be intelligent to follow the path of Shreya or Preya. So, intelligence is for Shreya, obviously, by logic. Why do you want only short-term benefit? For temporary? Because your problems are perpetual, they cannot be resolved by temporary benefits. You must have long-term benefit. And therefore, one must be guided. Now, even in Bhagavad Gita, very first discrimination that one has to do through Krishna conscious intelligence is the distinguishing between Sat and Asat. So those who are seeker of truth, either in case, then they must know. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate asat, ubhayor api drashtu anta tattva darshibihi. The seekers of truth has delineated that for the eternal there is no cessation and for temporary it does not endure. Asat cannot endure. So prayer is not going to be endured and sat is going to be an everlasting. So why not we take the best of the bad bargain that we have and that is go to guru. We have bad bargain in the material existence. Nothing belongs to us even though we want to possess and we are frustrated. Better go to Guru for the real wealth. That greedy merchant became the devotee of Sanatana Goswami when he told him to throw away the gem which was he was putting in the garbage. So he got intelligence that he must have something more valuable that he is hiding. You know? So Sanatana said, you throw that away, then I will give you this. That's the condition. So if you want to throw away the prayer, you know, and go for this prayer, then you are called intelligent. Athato brahma jigyasa. Human form of life is entailing the intelligence. It is based on that developed consciousness one can be intelligent. Now, what is that IQ? Intelligent quotient? Let me tell you the story. They say a person's evaluation that he is bright, extraordinary, you know, smart or whatever the good so-called qualities he has is based on IQ, right? It's called intelligent quotient, huh? But you check out all in terms of Shreya or Preya, everything is nothing but information quotient in his IQ. Information. He doesn't have intelligence but information. The artificial intelligence in the computer. That's also IQ. But it doesn't make him IQ. So in those mind who are nothing but on the sense gratification for short-term benefits, they will wear off. They know it. But they are so much miser, narrow-minded, that they don't want to give up. And they want to pose their ego, that I am somebody anyway, I am what I believe, what I think, I am the Lord of whatever I serve. So, that is based on information quotient only. But actually all this material information he has is all developed by ignorance. So again, it's also an IQ called ignorance quotient. So, when somebody is talking on IQ, you always think it will be on ignorant quotient. Does it make any sense? So some thoughtful people, okay, human being has been much more distinguished not only on IQ, but he is also having so much responsibilities, you know, social responsibilities. So he is an emotional person. So EQ will be a good measure to make him a little a higher animal. EQ, emotional quotient. But there we see even an ant has a colony, and they have their family. Even the bees have their family. They have their emotions for their young ones. The bear, the wolves, and everyone, they have the emotional feelings. So where to draw the line? So somebody again thought, a devotee came, hey, actually it is the SQ will be the most important. That is spiritual quotient. The real measure is spiritual quotient. And that is only endowed for the human being. So the real intelligence is not IQ. It is the spiritual quotient will make him more of a human being. Otherwise, he has no value. What do you think? I have a slideshow of this. Yes?
Just on that point, sometimes there's been a lot of people, particularly Christian writers, that have written a lot of those management series books, Road Less Traveled and Seven Habits and things like that. And so there is that thought they put out there that they try to approach this concept of Shreyas, like delayed sense gratification is a better approach it shows maturity and more of an emotional intelligence or EI.
Right.
So they sort of try and go somewhere there, but usually the sense of gratification is there, it's just later on.
But all the time, Krishna is also teaching intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam yena mam upayanti. I will give him enough intelligence so by which he can come to me. And that is the ultimate Shreya. Okay, I will go and visit Krishna and come back. Has it ever happened? No. All our endeavors, where they end up? They never go back home back to God. Only this is the one that will go, and with a guarantee it is coming. Lifetime warranty. Not one year or 2 years. So, this is Satatam Kirtan. We have to develop the consciousness which is very, very broad. And you can all see through Krishna consciousness. Means always keep in the center and then measure out what is the value. How it is done. How can it be repaired? How can it be? So all the material problems, they are also short-lived. If we do not resolve, Mother Nature is capable to resolve by herself. Because she is working under the jurisdiction of Krishna and she is not ordinary. She is Shakti that can easily overpower us who are supposed to be of superior energy. That is the first and foremost smashing of the ego. We are baffled in our attempts to become happy life after life. But when we get intelligence, we have to subside all those nonsensical activities to Krishna. Mameva ye prapadyante maya mitham tarantite. One who surrenders unto me, my maya will not affect. That is maya mitham. That maya is Krishna, so Krishna can easily interfere. Oh maya, please don't harass. He is my son. Don't worry. And she will not touch you. So Mahatmanas to Mam Partha Devi Prakriti Mahashita Bhajanti Mananya Manaso Gyatva Gutadi Mahashya. Therefore, these broad-hearted people, they always worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without any alternative. don't see anybody, any personality, anything in the material world to compensate that kind of thing. Ananya manasa. Only resolute, one-pointed devotion. Actually, that is the original occupation of the soul. Das, nitya das. No less, nothing more. Okay? Thank you very much, Om Gosha Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
I thank you.
Thank you.
Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
Vaidehi Mataji, everybody. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness, where we are, speak Maharaj.
Jai.